All right, so there's a lot of papers on your chairs today, and we're going to talk about these. These are for you to take home. This first one is 2 pages, front and back, 4 pages. It's really our core values, like what's really most important to us as a community and what we believe. A lot of you wonder, you know, you don't see a denomination in our name. What kind of beliefs do we have? And so we've tried to boil them down to the basics for you to take these home. You can also find these on our website, hopehillchurch.org. And so this is for you to take home and keep if you want to learn a little bit more about who we are and what we believe, okay? And then the second paper is what we call an affirmation of community. Because we are a brand new church, how many of you have ever been a part of like a church start, a brand new church just getting off the ground? Okay, a small handful of you. Churches start in many different ways. And we started out with the support of a sponsoring church by the name of First Baptist Church here in Woodbridge. And right now, if we were to like all of a sudden accidentally set the school on fire, they've stepped behind us and said they'd take care of it, okay? Yeah, they were like, wait a minute, we didn't say that. But in a sense, as we kind of get our own feet underneath us, they're our sponsor, we're under their insurance. A lot of our bookkeeping and funding goes through them and back to us so that we can do the ministry God's called us to do. So they're kind of like an umbrella over us, helping us get established. And really, as a church forms, it really is about people. And what we want to do is we want to invite you to ask God if this is your place, if this is to be your church family. That's why we're doing this series called We Are Family. And we hope that God will lead you to be a part of what we're doing here, and not just to, again, fill a seat, but to really get involved, to get plugged in. And so we invite you to take this sheet here, this affirmation of community, to read through it, to pray through it, and to ask yourself, where am I, first of all, in my walk with God? Where am I in my journey with the church as a community? And how can I take the next step? And some of you have been here for a while. You know this is where God wants you to be. And so we want to just say, hey, if you're on the team, are you willing to put your name on the line? And so we're going to be talking about that today. And you're not signing away any of your, you know, firstborn children or, you know, your first, you know, bonus at Christmas into my pocket or anything like that. But we want you to look at this and consider what God may be calling you to do as a part of this family of God. Okay? So thank you. Take those, look at them. And then the last sheet I want to point out to you is kind of like our notes for today. And this is for you to take home and, again, look a little deeper in your own time into the scriptures I'm going to be referencing and to really see who we are and what we're about. Okay, so let's get into that this morning. Can I bug someone for a cup of water? Thank you, Harvey. Thank you. I'm already getting dry. I think it's that peanut and sunflower stuff. So, but it was good. Okay, so... okay, here we go. Let me pray for us, and then we'll dive into today. God, thank you so much for who you are. And I pray, God, that as we discuss some things over the next 20, 30 minutes together, that you'd help us to hear your voice clearly. You'd help us to see from your word, from truth, what we are to be as a church. And that we would, God, not try to invent our own ways or our own means, but we would get on board with what you're doing. God, this is your church. We are your people. And God, we're here to do your will. And we pray, God, that you just open our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so what is the family of God? What is the church? And what is it all about? I'm going to attempt to try and summarize that this morning by really taking you back to very close to the beginning. And I'm going to real quickly try to summarize how we get to where we are today. If you've been in church, you may have sang a song growing up called Father Abraham. How many of you ever sang that song? Okay, let's sing it together. Father Abraham. Okay, that's enough. So anyway, Father Abraham, you can go back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12, we see Abraham introduced to the world, okay? And before his name was Abraham, his name was Abram. And many times when God met people and set them apart for a special purpose, he changed their name for different reasons. Well, when we meet Abraham, his name is Abram, and he's a thriving man. He's got a family. He doesn't have any kids yet, but he's got a wife. He's got a lot of people he's responsible for, and a lot of property, a lot of land. Things are going pretty well for him. But God says, Abram, I want you to leave all of that, and I want you to go. And Abram goes. God doesn't tell him where. He doesn't tell him why yet. He does tell him why, actually. I take that back. He doesn't tell him where or how, but he says, just follow me, and I'll take you to the place I need you to go. He goes on, and can we throw that up on the screen? Genesis 12, 1 through 4. If it isn't on the screen, you can turn to your Bibles. There are Bibles every other chair or so, Genesis chapter 12. I just want to read that for you so you can see it in your own for yourselves. This is really the beginning of God calling us as his people to accomplish his purpose in this world. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Go to a land that I will show you. It's on page 8 in this Bible if you are looking for it. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all of the people, read that with me, and all of the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This is often referred to as the Abrahamic covenant. I will be your God, you will be my people, follow me. From the beginning, it was God's plan to bless who? All the peoples through a particular manner and really through a particular person. Abraham said, God said to Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. There's going to be this song called Father Abraham. Kids are going to love it. Okay. And God says to him, just follow me. And we have throughout the Old Testament that we see this family, this line from Abram. God tested Abraham a few times, and it was actually several years, several decades, I think 30 or 40 years before Abraham even had his first son. And he kept going back to God, wait a minute, I thought you said you were going to make me into a great nation. I'm still, you know, we haven't had any kids yet. And but it unfolds. And over time, we see the nation of Israel grow. We see that the nation of Israel is again chosen by God. Through you, I'm going to bless the entire world. All peoples of the land will come to know who I am. As I am your God, you will be my people, and I will bless you, and you will bless the nations. And so it's always been God's plan, not to just have a particular person or a particular people group, but that all people, all time, everywhere would be blessed through his chosen people. So then we fast forward several books of the Bible to the New Testament, where the New Testament points out that they had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Jesus himself, the Son of God, came to earth, and he came and he lived a life on earth for 33 years. And he came for one reason, really, to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven. From the beginning of time, it was God's hope and plan that everything would go perfect. But at the beginning, we messed it up, and sin came into the world. And so this whole plan had to be fixed somehow. And God's fix for it was sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to be sacrificed and to die on a cross for you and for me, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And as he formed during the last 3 years of his life, his closest friends, often called the disciples, he taught them and he spent time with them and he walked around the lands with him and he blessed people. He had compassion on crowds. He poured out his love. He did miraculous works. And he said, the things that I have done, greater things will you do when I leave, because the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to you and you will start the church. And so Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus has come, he's died, he's risen again, and he's come back to his disciples. And we're going to see in Matthew chapter 28 that some of them still were doubting. They had seen this Jesus do amazing miracles, walk on water, raise the dead, make blind see, and still some doubted. And Jesus still says, even you who are doubting, you who are struggling, I'm going to use you to change the world. And he says, get ready. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, that's not going to appear up there because I didn't give him that verse in time. Now he's going to prove me wrong and throw it up. But Acts 1, 8 says, Jesus says, I want you to be ready, I want you to be prepared, and I want you to go and to be my witnesses to Jerusalem. That's right where they were. That was like their local area. To Judea. That was like over the other side of the tracks, you know, stretching out a little far. And then Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria and the ends of the earth. And so God says, I'm going to use you, but wait, he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. You see that word power? That word power is something that is real, something that is tangible. And we're going to be talking a lot about what's behind that power through the month of October. We're going to be looking into the supernatural. A lot of us go to church. You can leave that verse up there. I'm going to come back to it. A lot of us, we kind of go to church because it's sometimes the American thing to do, you know? We don't, there's a God. But when we think about real life and we think about spirits and we think about supernatural things, it all kind of seems a little hokey to us, right? We're going to talk, we're going to spend a few weeks kind of leading up to Halloween, you know, on looking at spiritual stuff. What are angels? What are demons? What's this Holy Spirit? What's going on supernaturally that we as Christians should even care about? And that's our next series called Supernatural. We're kicking that off next week, so come back for that. But what I want you to see here is that the Holy Spirit is something real. Jesus was on earth. He had spent 3 years of his life with his disciples, showing them how to love others despite their failures, despite their mistakes. And what was really bizarre about this is that the religious people, the people that Jesus had anointed as his own, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, that he came to his own and his own rejected him. But Jesus took the power and the authority and said to anyone who will believe on my name, I will give you the right to become the children of my Father, the Father God. And so Jesus spends his life walking with the people, living a perfect sinless life, and says, now the things that you've seen me do, go and teach others. And teach them as I've taught you. Baptize them. We're going to get into that verse in a minute. And show them everything I've shown you. And take this and make it grow. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need power. There's only a couple times in the New Testament that this word power is used. And we get the word power in English from the Greek word dunamis. Do you know what we really translate dunamis into in English? Dynamite. Is that power? Have any of you played with dynamite? Have any of you wanted to play with dynamite? Yeah, I got arrested for a very sad firecracker, not even, you know, close to a stick of dynamite, because they had some law that you couldn't blow up firecrackers when I was 18, and I had to go to court. But anyway, I was a youth intern and almost lost my job. It was at a church event I was leading. Yeah, so anyway, we won't go any further. I can be real with you guys, right? You're not going to fire me, right? Okay, so anyway, Jesus says you need power. You can't do this witnessing on your own. You cannot be the church on your own. We cannot fulfill the mission that God has for us in this world on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. There's one time when Jesus is walking through a crowd, and this is a big crowd. Everybody's in the streets. His disciples are around them. They're trying to break through. Everybody is like heard about this Jesus, the miraculous guy who can like do wonders and heal people. And this one woman, the Bible says, who had been bleeding internally, she was incurable. Nobody back then knew what was going on with her. She reached out to Jesus in this crowd. Everybody is like brushing by Jesus. And all of a sudden, she barely touches the hem of his garment as he walks by. And Jesus stops and says, who touched me? And the disciples are like, everyone? or in the middle of this crowd. No, no, no. I felt the power leave me. And they're like, okay, this is weird. And they're his disciples, okay? And he turns and he finds this woman who had reached out in faith, and her faith engaged the Savior, and the healing power of Christ transferred through that touch, and she was healed of her ailment. That's the kind of power that God has for us to touch lives today as a church. A church can't be about just coming inside and sitting and singing songs and, oh, we love the power and the love of Jesus, if we're not really going to put it into practice in our world. And so Hope Hill Church exists for this reason. At the bottom of that of your notes, you'll see a statement. Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place, Austin, but you're doing a good job following. All right, at the bottom, it says, the mission of Hope Hill Church is this. We exist to glorify God and impact our world through the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. So we here as a church, we want to be here to make a difference. The first thing that we're called to do at the top of your notes is to glorify God. We are called to worship Him. Worship is much more than a wonderful band. And wasn't it great this morning? It was awesome. Worship is much more than beautiful words and great music. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is how we move and breathe. The Bible was thrown at me by my mother often growing up. Not literally. That would have hurt. But there was a time when I went through a phase, middle school years it must have been, where I didn't want to brush my teeth. I just thought it was stupid. It was like, you know, I'm going to eat again in a couple hours. What's the point? And so she had me read this passage of scripture. I was like, there is no verse about brushing your teeth in the Bible. I just know it. And so this verse she gave me, it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That verse hit me like a Mack truck because, to be honest, at a young age, I don't know why, but I wanted to make God happy. I wanted to please Him. I grew up in a church where at the end of every service, they sang, you know, 50,000 verses of Just As I Am, you know, over and over again. And at the end of every service, I would always be down at what they called the altar and praying. And I remember 8, 9 years old, every week going up, and finally they just stopped coming to check on me. Oh, here he comes again. Okay. And so I don't know. I had this desire. I remember at the age of 9, having a friend named Nikki Odo, and we would ride our bikes. I lived in a trailer park for a couple years, and we would ride our bikes through the trailers and, you know, jump off hills we had made. And one day we got tired, and so we took a break, and we're talking, and he's like, so what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, I'm going to church. I got Awanas tonight. You guys heard of Awanas? And so we got Awanas tonight. He was like, you want a what? I was like, no, it's called Awanas. We go and we learn about God. And he was like, God, what do you mean? And it was the first time I'd ever, you don't believe in God? What is God? And he had no clue. And there at the age of 9, we're sitting there having this deep theological discussion while sitting on our bikes about God. He made us and the universe and all these Bibles. And I had learned through the PALs, and, you know, if you've been through Awanas, you know what that is. But I had learned these verses, and these verses just started coming on my mind, and I started sharing with him how God loves him, and his sins could be forgiven, and he could have eternal life if he believed in the Savior. And right there, at the age of 9, I led my first friend to Christ. And it was like all I thought about. And so when my mom came to me with this verse, you need to brush your teeth because no matter what you do, you need to bring glory to God, I was like, oh, crap. So everything we do, no matter how hard you work in your job, no matter how you parent, everything you do, you should do it as if you're doing it for Jesus. As if you're doing it for the Lord. That is our act of worship, to live a life worthy of Him. In Romans chapter 12, I actually have this in the second, transform lives, but it really fits this part as well. It says, verse 1, I have it printed on your sheet, Romans 12, 1. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. True and proper worship. Another part of the Bible says that the kind of religion and the religious works that God desires from us is that which takes care of orphans and widows. Does it say anything about singing or a band in that verse? No. But a lot of times when we think of worship, we think of music. But the truth is God calls us to glorify him and worship him through our lifestyle. So our first purpose here is Hope Hill Church, and everything we do inside these walls, and more importantly, outside these walls, is to live in glory of him. Matthew 5:16 puts it like this. Actually, if we start at verse 14, can you do that, Austin? Can you jump up to 14, Matthew 5:14 through 16? It talks about us being a city on a hill. A city can't be put on a hill and be hidden. And the same way, we don't put a light where it can't be seen. We need to let our light shine in such a way that all will see our works and come to glorify our Father in heaven. And there you see it there. Go to verse 14 real quick. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a city on this hill that offers hope to all of Prince William County, to all of Northern Virginia, and to the world. We want to be a light that points people to Jesus. We want to make Jesus famous. A lot of people, they look at the church and they see it as a place that's just got their own agenda, their own mindset, their own directions. And the truth is there is an agenda. It's for God's love to be shown and for people come to know how much God loves them and to experience the wonderful life that God has for them. So we want to glorify God. The second part we want to do is we want to transform lives. And I just want to throw this at you real quick. God wants to transform your life in the midst of using you to transform others' lives. I said this several months ago. My father-in-law and I were talking, Jim over here, and this quote always stuck with me, that a battleship, who did I ask this a while ago? Yes. How long does it take to turn an aircraft carrier battleship around? It's got to start moving sometimes in the wrong direction in order to turn to get going in the right direction. And it can literally take miles for it to actually turn around and start going right. And the point here is that God wants you to start moving, and he'll point you in the right direction. As you start moving and letting him serve through you, as you start getting out and sorting clothes at a store, open up for people who had their homes flooded, God will begin to transform your heart as you let him use you to transform the lives of others around us. And so let's get busy. Let's get in motion. Let's get out of these seats and get out in our community and start making a difference so that as we follow God, God will change us from the inside out. It says this, do not conform any longer. This is verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. What is the pattern of the United States right now? Look out for number one. You know, we want customer service and we want it now. We pull up to fast food and if it's more than 30 seconds, we're complaining. We are a self-centered society that is not bent on helping others, but on getting ourselves as far as we can, no matter what it takes. We've got to make a difference. We've got to transform individuals, and we need to work at letting God use us to transform our nation. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? You ever heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out? The same way. If we want to really be transformed, we need to get involved in letting God speak to us through his word, through studying with other believers, by wrestling over hard issues, by having good dialogue and good disagreements and good studies saying, did God really mean that? Did he say it there? And going back to God's word to see it. And as we allow our minds to be transformed by him, then we can transform this world. So get involved. Get involved in a community group where we're doing great studies. There's 7 community groups going on right now that will help you dig in, not only to God's word, but also into getting to know one another. You can't get to know each other sitting in here. I mean, it's impossible. I'm doing all the talking, okay? So go to a community group where you can hear someone's life struggles, where you can share good food, where you can get out and make a difference together, and where you can also dive into God's Word. Let's get ourselves into places where our minds can be transformed so that our lives can be transformed and we can bring transformation to this world. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." God wants to bring newness into your life. Even if you've been walking with him for a while, if you've grown stagnant in your walk, it's time to find out why. God is constantly wanting to sharpen us, to shape us, to prepare us for his next thing he has for us. And that brings us to the next, and I'll just throw these out there real quick for you. We want to impact this world. We don't want to just build a monument to ourselves. We don't want to just build walls somewhere. Will we one day have a church building? Maybe. But my hope and my heartbeat is that if we do have a church building, it isn't one that sits empty every week, but really makes a difference in our community. I'd love to have a building that maybe was a ton of gyms that got used by all the rec leagues during the week, and then on Sundays we happen to worship in it. You know, I'd love to have a building one day that possibly was used as a homeless shelter or a food pantry or in some way impacting our community. Let's dream together and see what God has. It's his church, after all, not mine, not ours. Let's seek him for that. So how can we impact the world? God commanded Abram at the beginning when we looked at Abram. God said, "I want you to follow me, and through you," he said, "all the peoples of the earth will be blessed." In Jeremiah 29:7, this group of people had grown. They're now a massive nation, and they now have been taken captive by the Babylonians. And God says to them, "While you're captive, do this. Seek peace and prosperity for that city where I have sent you." And he says, "Pray to the Lord for that city." Are you praying for our area? Are you praying for our government, for our president, for our leaders? Or are you just complaining and hoping he gets voted out of office soon? We need to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, and pray that God's will be done. In Matthew 24:14, ultimately, this is really what it's about. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "I want this gospel to be preached in all the world, and then the end will come." So what is the church here for? We're here to glorify God, we're here to help transform lives, and we're here to impact the world. And there's two ways that we do it. We do it through the great commandment. The Pharisees were trying to get Jesus. Does our praise band want to get in place while we wrap up? The Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "You know, we followed Moses, and you've been teaching in the synagogues. We know you know about Moses. What do you say the greatest law is?" And they said to him, in a way to try and test him, and he turned to them and he said, "The greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second commandment, the second greatest, is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." And so we want to love God with our entire being, and we want to love our fellow brothers, our neighbors who are not yet even believers, so that they can come and experience this true love for them as well. So that ultimately we can fulfill the Great Commission, which is that last passage. The 11 disciples were gathered together. You might be, "Wait, I thought there was 12. Well, after Jesus was crucified, if you remember, Judas committed suicide. So he wasn't with them at that time. So the 11 that were left, 11 disciples, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Even those 11 were still, Is this really happening? Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." We don't want to just go out and tell people Jesus loves them. We're to go and make them understand how much Jesus loves them and teach them how to then do it for others as they become disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the end of the age.